I pray. Amen. All right. Well, we're there in Malachi chapter number 3. And if I can have Brother Vincent help me with these handouts. And we're going to go ahead and pass out a handout for tonight. How's everybody? Is it too warm? Too cold? Everybody all right? You're all good? All right. I was hoping you'd say too warm. I'm getting kind of warm with these heaters on. Good night. Oh, we're facing them the wrong way. No, I'm just kidding. No. They're good. They're good. All right. Well, on Sunday nights, we've been going through a series entitled Fundamental Truths. And on Sunday morning, we've kind of been preaching just whatever the Lord lays on my heart. On Wednesday night, we've been studying the book of Romans, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the book of Romans. On Sunday nights, we've been preaching a series entitled Fundamental Truths. And we've been going through it and teaching kind of a discipleship course, I guess you could say, just some basic fundamental things that every Christian needs to know. If you remember when we started this series, we started with lesson number 1, and it was all about salvation. We started with lesson number 2, and it was about eternal security. We started with lesson number 3, and it had to do, I don't remember the order we did them in now, but we've done a lesson on Bible reading. We've done a lesson on the King James Version of the Bible. We've done a lesson on prayer. We've done a lesson on church attendance. We've done a lesson on soul winning. We've done a lesson on all sorts of different things. Tonight, and by the way, we're only doing these handouts during this series. Once we're done with the series, we're going to go back to how we normally did it without a handout. But I wanted to give you guys a handout because we're dealing some basic fundamental things every Christian needs to know. And I wanted you to have something in your hand that you can refer back to, that you can look at, that you can study out on your own. So, like you can see there, we're in sermon number 9 in the series on fundamental truths. And the subject for tonight is on the subject of tithing. On the subject of tithing. Now, if you look at the introduction, I want to say a few things. Number 1, this lesson is on the subject of tithing. But number 2, let me just give you a few disclaimers. Number 1, first thing you need to understand is this. At Verity Baptist Church, money is not an issue we often emphasize. And for those of you that have came here for any period of time, you know that's true. I very rarely talk about money in regards to you've got to give money to the church or you've got to tithe. It's just not something that is that important to us. I mean, the Bible talks about it and we're not ashamed of it. We're going to preach the Bible and we're not ashamed of that. But it's not, you know, God, it's not, money is not the number one thing on the priority list for God. Do you understand that? The Bible says He paves, the streets in heaven are paved with gold, okay? So it's not a big deal for Him. What we see as the most valuable thing on earth, He sees as asphalt. You know what I mean? I mean, he paves the streets with it. It's not a big issue for Him. And I just want to make that clear because sometimes people come to church and they think, every time I go to church, all they preach about is money. Money, 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 money. Our church is not like that. We very rarely preach about money. We don't charge for anything. I mean, I was just talking to my wife when we were going through the bulletin and I was thinking to myself, man, you know, I hope, and I like to remind you of this, I hope our church people realize how spoiled and how cool our church is. Because I'll tell you, my wife and I, you know, I was in the military and I traveled and we were in a lot of different churches in the time that I was in the Air Force. And we never went to a church that had a ladies' activity every month where they made, you know, their own jewelry or they made personal-sized pizzas or they made ornaments or whatever. And we damn sure never went to a church that allowed us to do it for free. You know what I mean? I mean, when I was a teenager and we had activities, you had to pay to go to the church activity. We don't charge for anything. We don't charge for CDs. We don't charge for anything around here, and we do it on purpose because to our church, money is just not that big of a deal. You understand that? It's not a huge priority for us. So I'm saying that to say this. It's very rare that I preach on money, and I'm not ashamed or embarrassed to preach on money because we'll see here in a minute. The Bible talks a lot about money, but I don't want you to walk out of the service saying, that pastor, all he cares about money. You just happen to come to church when we're talking about it, you know, the once every 6 months or every year when we do deal with the issue. Do you understand that? So let me just give you that disclaimer there. And if you've been coming to our church for any period of time, you know that's true. We don't talk about money a lot. But like I said, we're not embarrassed with it. But we want to study the subject of tithing tonight. Number 1, if you looked at your notes, and we hand out these notes so you can follow along, so you can have something to reference back to. So number one, who does the tithe belong to? Who does the tithe belong to? If you look there, Leviticus chapter number 27 and verse number 30, we've got it in your notes there, or you can look it up in your own Bible if you'd like. Leviticus chapter number 27 and verse 30, the Bible says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree," notice what it says, "is the Lord's." You see that? All the tithe, according to the Bible, is the Lord's. And I want you to notice this. That's a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is God, Jehovah God. That is the Lord of Lords. And he says, all the tithe is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So you need to understand this. The tithe belongs to God. You do not give God your tithe. So oftentimes we refer to the tithe as an offering, and we'll say, "Oh, I'm going to give my tithe." And that's fine. We understand that. But you don't give God your tithe. And we'll look at this verse in a little bit. But if you look at letter B there, under point number one, the Lord Jesus Christ said this. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, "For ye pay tithe," in Matthew 23:23. So you don't give God your tithe. You pay God your tithe. You understand that? You owe it to God. It belongs to Him. We ask the question, what does the tithe belong to? The tithe is the Lord's, according to the Bible. Jesus Christ said, "For ye pay tithe," Matthew 23:23. Let us see, the tithe belongs to God, and if you don't pay Him the tithe, then you are robbing God. It belongs to Him. And if you don't pay it, then you're robbing or stealing from Him. Malachi 3:8. We read the chapter, but look at the verse there. Malachi 3:8. "Will a man rob God?" Question mark. "Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" Notice, he says, "You've robbed me in tithes and offerings." You see that? See, God expects a tithe. You don't give it to Him. It's not an offering you're offering. It is a bill that is due from God. It belongs to Him. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "For ye pay tithe." So, who does it belong to? It belongs to God. Number two, what is the tithe? Let's answer that question. What is the tithe? Leviticus 27:32. Do you see that? Leviticus 27:32 says this, "And concerning the tithe of the herd, or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord." I want you to see this. In Leviticus 27:32, the word tithe and the word tenth are used interchangeably. You understand that? It's the same word. He says, "And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord." Here's what you need to understand. The word tithe means tenth. And you say, "Well, what does tenth mean?" That's a numerical terminology. It means 10%. Tithe means the tenth part, which is 10%. Okay? Now, that's very important. I've grown up in churches, and I've heard pastors say this, "You ought to tithe 20%. And I'm thinking myself, of your income. And I'm thinking myself, that doesn't make any sense. Tithe means 10%. Okay? So don't let nobody fool you. But God expects 10%. You say, "I'm going to give that to God." No, you're going to pay that to God. That's what you owe. It's something that belongs to Him. You say, "How much does belongs to God?" 10%. That's what the word tithe means. Tithe equals 10. Tenth equals 10%. The word tithe and 10 are used interchangeably in the book of Leviticus. Letter B, under point number 2. Here's what you need to understand about the tithe, because we're answering this question, right? What is a tithe? Well, it's 10%. What is a tithe? Your tithe is the first fruits. Your tithe is the first fruits. The first thing you pay is your tithe. Let me show you a few verses there. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter number 3 and verse 15. 2 Chronicles 3:15. Look what it says. "And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the," notice these two words, "first fruits." So what did they bring in abundance? They brought in their first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and all the increase of the fields. And the, notice this, tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. Now do you notice, he said in the beginning of the verse, he said they brought in the abundance of their first fruits. And at the end of the verse, he said the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. differently. So there we see that the word tithe and the word first fruits are used interchangeably as well. That's because the word tithe means first fruits. And what the Bible is teaching here is that your tithe is not only the 10%, but your tithe is also the first 10%. You understand what I'm saying? It is the first thing you pay. Nehemiah 10:37 says this, "And that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offering, and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil, unto the priest, to the chambers of the house of God, and the tithes of our grounds unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage." You see that? So according to the Bible, what is the tithe? It is 10%. What is a tithe? It is the first fruits. Now here's what you got to understand. This was a big deal in Bible days, because in Bible days, they didn't live in cities and have an economy like you and I have. Do you understand that? They would often tithe, you know, they had cattle, or they had corn. They had things that they were growing, or things that they were raising, and that was their increase. So when they tithed to God, they tithed off of that. So for example, a man had 100 head of cattle born to him. He literally gave God 10 of those animals. That was his tithe. You understand that? Now, not only did he give 10%, but he gave the first fruit. What that means is this. The first 10 that were born, that's what he gave to them. When they brought in the corn from the field, you know, they reaped it all. The first 10% that came in, that's what they gave to God. Now, that's important. Look at Leviticus 27:32. Leviticus 27:32 says, "And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord." Look at verse 33. "And he shall not search whether it be good or bad." Do you see that? Now here's the thing. When they would bring an offering to the Lord, they were supposed to bring the best offering that they had. Do you remember that in Malachi? He said, you're going to bring an offering to God. Don't bring him a lamb that's lame. Don't bring him a lamb that's sick. Bring him the best thing that you've got. When you give God an offering, you give him your best. But God is saying here, when you bring your tithe, he says, I don't care if it's good or bad. He said, don't look at the quality. Just give me the first 10%. You understand that? So if in that first 10% was the best quality, I mean, the strongest bull you had was in that first 10%, God said, give it to me. It belongs to me. But on the flip side, if in that first 10% was just a sickly animal, you still gave it to God. It didn't matter. Because it was just the first 10% belonged to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you say, well, how do we apply that to our lives today? Here's how I apply it to my life. When I get paid, the first check I write is the tithe. I pay God first. I pay everyone else afterwards. If I'm going to come up late on my bills, and Lord willing, no one ever does that. You know, I don't think you need to do that. But I'm going to pay. Here's what I'm saying. I'm going to make sure God gets paid before PG&E gets paid. I'm going to make sure God gets paid before someone else gets paid. Do you understand that? Now, Lord willing, you'll have the character, and you're going to budget, and you're going to make some money, and you're going to pay all your bills. That's what a Christian ought to do, pay all their bills. But you pay God first. You acknowledge God first. You make sure God, because the tithe is 10%, but the tithe is the first fruits, okay? So we pay Him first. Now, here's what you got to understand. Look at letter C. It's 10%, but I want you to notice this. It's 10% of all your increase. All your increase. Oftentimes, people say, you tithe off your income. But you will never find the Bible saying to tithe off your income. You will find the Bible say you tithe off your increase. Let me prove it to you. Deuteronomy 14:22. Do you see it? Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. Matthew 23:23. Look what Jesus said. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe and mint, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Now, don't misunderstand what God is saying, what Jesus is saying. He's rebuking the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, where you pay tithe and mint of anise and cumin. Now, you say, what are those things? Those things, mint, anise, cumin, those are real small, I can't even think of what the word is now. Good night. What is it? Yeah, like cents or, is it warm in here? I'm getting warm. Good night. Is it warm? Are these warm? Can you turn on the heater back? No, I'm just kidding. Is it actually getting warm? Anybody hot? I'm hot. Can we turn these down? Is that all right? Is that all right? Let's turn these down. That better? I just want the fan off, so I don't have to take over. See, you guys are never happy. When we don't have them, it's too cold. You know, so you're like Goldilocks. Too warm in here? Too cold? Is it just right? No, I'm just kidding. No, you're good. You're good. Amen. Deuteronomy 14:22. Oh, I'm sorry, Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Now here's what you got to say. Jesus Christ is rebuking them because they have omitted the weightier matters of the law. He's not rebuking them because they paid tithe. You understand that? Notice what he says. Omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Notice what he says. These ought ye to have done. He said, you should have paid tithe, but not to leave the other undone. Do you see that? Because sometimes people say, see, Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees for paying tithe. No, he wasn't. He was saying, you should have paid tithe, but you should have also had judgment, mercy, and faith. That's what he's rebuking them for. Now, here's the interesting thing. He says they pay tithe off mint, anise, and cumin. They're paying tithe off of, what did we say they were called? My wife knows. Where is my wife? Spices. There you go. That's the word I'm looking for. Spices. Okay? They're giving 10% of a spice. Now, is that pretty? Is that your income? I'm trying to prove a point. Look at Luke 11:42. Say a parallel passage. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done. You should have tithed off the mint and the rue and all manner of herbs, and not to leave the other undone. So he didn't say they were wrong for tithing. He said they were wrong for not doing the judgments and the love of God. Do you understand that? Now here's what you need to understand. These guys were tithing off of spices. They were tithing off of herbs. And here's what I believe. And I believe the Bible teaches this. You don't tithe off your income. You tithe off of your increase. What that means is this. Whenever you increase, you tithe off of that. Now, of course, your income is included in that. I go to work. I make money. I should tithe off that. But it goes further than that. I believe whenever I'm increased. Let me tell you something. Somebody gives me a gift just a few weeks ago. Somebody gave me a pretty expensive gift. And it was something they gifted to me, and it was used, but I knew it was valuable. And I didn't know what the value was. And you know, I went to an expert, and I said, hey, I've got this item, and I told him what it was. I told him the brand and the year and everything. And I told him, how much do you think that's worth? And he said, for that, you could probably get $250, $300 for it. So I put $30 in the offering plate. I tithed off my increase. Do you understand that? Someone gave me something of value. I increased by that amount. And I tithed off that. The Pharisees, somebody gave, they said, they went to their mom's house, and mom said, here, take these herbs. And they took those herbs, and they figured out what was 10% of that, and they tithed to God. And Jesus said, that is the right thing to do. He says, that's what you should have done. And not left the other undone. Did this thing just turn on again? We got ghosts or something. You tithe off your increase. Off your increase. Number one, look what it says. Income before taxes. Income before taxes. You say, some people have this idea. I tithe off my net. Okay? You know, you get your check. If you work for a company, you get a check. In your check, you have a column that says gross, and then you have a column that says net. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Am I using the right terminology? Is that the right terminology? I get a 1099. I don't know. So you get your gross, and you get your net. You tithe off your gross. You say, well, why is that? Well, your net is what you take home. You understand that? But your gross is what you made. That's what you increase. You say, well, why is my net less than my gross? Because the government came in and robbed you when you weren't looking. That's what, yeah. It's called taxes. But you say, but I take home net. Yeah, but you earned gross. Do you understand that? You increased gross. When you go do your taxes and they ask you, how much money did you make this year? And you get your W-2 out, that number that says this is how much I made this year, that's the gross that you made. before taxes. You say, well, I have to pay God before taxes? Well, look, I make sure I pay God before taxes, and I'm not going to pay the government before I pay God. You understand that? The government's not above God. Look at Colossians 1:18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ ought to have preeminence over the government. So I'm going to make sure I pay God before I pay the government. Now let me explain something, because we've got people in our church that are business owners, okay? If you're a business owner, forget that terminology about gross, okay? You do not tithe off your gross as a business owner, and let me explain to you why. And I'll prove to you that I'm not a greedy pastor, okay? I'm trying to explain to you how to not pay more tithe than you're supposed to, because God doesn't want you to, God doesn't want all your money. He just wants to know if you're obedient, okay? Now, if you work for a company and you get a W-2 at the end of the year, you pay off your gross. What your stub says gross, that's what I believe you ought to tithe off. If you're a business owner, on the other hand, forget about this gross thing, because here's what you got to understand, okay? I get a 1099 at the end of the year. I'm considered a general contractor as far as paying my taxes and stuff. So here's the thing. If I go do a job and I make $1,000, right? But I spent $200 on parts, and I spent $50 on gas to get me there and back. You know, I spent $250. So did I make $1,000? No. Because part of that had to be paid to do the job. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I don't tithe off that $1,000. Because part of that I have to go to parts, part of that I have to go to, putting gas in the car. Now, I do pay off of what I take home before I pay taxes. Because I'm not going to pay the government before I pay God. But I don't pay, off of my expenses, okay? As a business owner, you're going to have expenses to run your business. You don't have to tithe off of that because you didn't make that money. You understand what I'm saying? That was a cost to you to do the job. So I want to make that clear, because sometimes people get confused. It's Sunday night, so we're being a little more practical. So you say, I work a job. I get a check. You got to tithe off your gross. Because that's what you increased. I'm a business owner. You tithe after you've paid all the expenses that it costs you to make that money, whatever's left over, before you pay taxes, tithe off of that. Because that's what you increase. You say, someone gave me a $500 gift. You ought to tithe off of that. Someone gave me, good night. You ought to, whenever you increase, I would challenge you, find me a verse in the Bible where God says tithe off your income. You won't find it. But you'll find verse after verse after verse that says you are to tithe off your increase. Number two, including gifts or things given to you, when you tithe off your gift, you're acknowledging this. Look at James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Say, I need to tithe off my gift. Look, it's your birthday and somebody hands you $100. I believe you ought to put $10 in the offering plate. Say, well, that was a gift. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. If you got a gift, it's that God gave it to you. Do you understand that? See, the purpose of a tithe, here's the purpose of tithe. It's not because God is hurting for money, okay? The purpose of tithing is acknowledging that God is the one that's taking care of you. That God is the one that's providing for you. So you got to tithe off your increase. Number three, you say, well, tithing off a herb, that seems a little, that seems a little too much, you know. That seems a little, you're taking a little bit overboard. Well, here's my philosophy. Verse number three, look at what it says. I want to pay attention to the details with God, because I want God to pay attention to details with me. You understand that? So-and-so took me out to dinner, and they bought me a $50 dinner. I'm gonna keep that in my mind, and on Sunday, I'm going to put $5 in the offering plate, because so-and-so just increased me $50. Say, Pastor, you're taking that a little too far. Well, guess what? When I get on my knees to pray to God, I want to be real descriptive with God, because when I need something from God, I want Him to be real detailed with me. You understand that? You say, whatever. I'll throw in the tithe, whatever, and then you wonder why you don't get your prayers answered. Maybe because you have this attitude, whatever, it's no big deal. Maybe when you get on your knees to pray to God, He says, whatever, no big deal. I'll get to it whenever. When it comes to God, I want things to be tight. You know what I mean? I want them to be right. I want to be right on detail. And I want to do more so that when I need God, He says, hey, you're always concerned that I'm taken care of. I'll make sure you're taken care of. Look at this verse. Now please, I understand. This verse does not specifically have to do with tithing. But there's a principle here we can learn. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you. Here's what God is saying. The amount that you put into something, God's going to put in the same amount. I want to be detailed with God. God will be detailed with you. Letter D. Non-monetary gifts or increases need to be converted into money. Because here's the question. How do you tithe off of herbs and spices or gifts? Now, when I say that, people have this idea. Like, you, Pastor, you think you ought to tithe off a gift? It's in the Bible. Oh, let me show it to you. You want me to prove it to you? Look at Deuteronomy 14:22. You didn't think I was going to make a statement without proving it to you, did you? You're at Verity Baptist Church. You're going to have to, get mad at the Word of God before you get mad at me. Deuteronomy 14:22. Look what it says. Look what the Bible says. I don't think somebody gave you a gift and you put that. Someone took you out to a restaurant and you tithe off that. You're crazy, Pastor. Well, look what the Bible says. Deuteronomy 14:22. Thou shalt truly tithe all the what? Increase. Look what he says. Of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds, and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Now look at verse 24. And if the way be too long for thee. Say, what is that talking about? Remember we mentioned this earlier? In Old Testament days, they didn't have economy. Hey girls, you need to keep your mouth shut, okay? People are trying to listen. In Old Testament days, they didn't have economy like you and I do. You know what I mean? I go to work, I get paid. They deposit money into my account. In Old Testament days, people's jobs were, I raise cattle. People's jobs were, I grow corn. I grow wheat. That's what they did. So here's the thing. At the end of the year, they would take 10% of all the wheat that they had and take it to the temple to pay their tithe. They take 10% of all the sheep that they had raised and they take it to the temple to pay their tithe. They get 10% of all the cows that they raised or all the herd and they take it to the temple. Now here's the thing. Not everybody lived real close to the temple. Sometimes you had to travel. Look at verse 24, Deuteronomy 14:24. And if the way be too long for thee, he says, it's too far for you to take, 10 cows with you to the temple or, 10% of the reaping that came in from the wheat harvest. He says, if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it. Notice, he said, it's too far away, you're not able to carry it. Or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Look at verse 25. Then shalt thou turn it into money. Do you see that? He says, then shalt thou turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. So here's what he's saying. He says, you got 10 cows that you're supposed to tithe, because this year you increase by 100 cows, and you're going to bring 10% of that to God as his tithe, but the temple's too far, and you can't take those cows with you the whole way. Here's what he says. You turn it into money. So you find out the value of those animals. Well, I could sell each cow for $200. You find out the value, and you take that amount of money and bring that to God. You understand that? So when somebody gives me a $250 gift, and it's an object, someone gives you a car, and it's, a $10,000 car, you don't bring us, I'm bringing in my tithe, and here's the bumper, and here's a tire, and here's the steering wheel, I'm giving you 10% of my car. No. What you do is you say, how much is this car worth? Someone just increased me $10,000. So I'm going to take 10% of that, convert it into money, and present it to the Lord. That's how it works. That's how you're supposed to do it. That's what the Bible says. Number three, how do you properly give your tithe? How do you properly give to your tithe? Letter A. The tithe is given to the house of God. The tithe is given to the house of God. Look at Genesis 28:16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. Now I want you to notice something. This is the first time in the Bible when this phrase is used, house of God. It's also the first time in the Bible when this word is used, tenth or tithe. Look what he says. Jacob wakes up and he says this. You remember he had that dream where he saw the ladder and the angel descending from heaven? And he said, this is the house of God and this is the gate of heaven. Notice what he did. Look at verse 18. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, I will keep me in this way that I go, and I will give me and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. Look at verse 22. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And Genesis 28, that altar that Jacob had made, that stone that he had laid, that was, according to Genesis 28, the house of God. Notice what he said, look at verse 22. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee the tenth. I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Do you see that? So in Genesis 28, you have Jacob saying, this pillar is the house of God, and I will sacrifice 10% of everything you give me to this place. To what place? To the house of God. Because you bring your tithe to the house of God. Deuteronomy 12:11. Look what it says. And then there shall be a place where the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Hither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. So where do you bring your tithe? You bring your tithe to the place which the Lord your God shall choose. To the house of God. Deuteronomy 14:23, look what it says. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds, of thy flock, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God forever. So here's what you understand. In Genesis, in Jacob's day, remember Jacob was one of the patriarchs. You had Abraham, and his son was Jacob. This is the beginning of the whole deal. He was one of the patriarchs, one of the fathers of our faith. And Jacob, he set up a stone. He set it for a pillar. Man, he spared no expense. You know what I mean? He grabbed a stone and he said, this is the house of God. And I'm going to tie to it. Later on, in Exodus, do you remember? Remember we were studying the book of Exodus on Wednesday night? Moses set up the tabernacle. And remember the glory of the Lord came upon that tabernacle and that became the house of God? So it started as a pillar with Jacob. Moses, it became the tabernacle, was the house of God. And they would bring their sacrifices and their tithes to the house of God. Remember, years after that, King Solomon built a physical temple. And that became the house of God. And they began to bring the tithe to the temple. And today, you say, what's the house of God today? Look at 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself, notice, in the house of God. Say, what is the house of God? Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Today, in the New Testament era and beyond, in 2012, the house of God is the church of God. You say, what is the church? You and I, we're the church. We are the congregation. We are the assembly. So you say, where do I bring my tithe? You bring it to the house of God. And by the way, you bring your tithe to the house of God. Let me emphasize this word. You bring your tithe to the house of God. Let me show that. Look at Deuteronomy 12:6. And hither ye shall, do you see that next word? Bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes. You see that? You bring your tithes and heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your freewill offerings and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. Look at 2 Chronicles 3:15. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel, look what it says, brought in abundance the first fruits. They brought the first fruits. Deuteronomy 12:6, ye shall bring your tithes. Nehemiah 10:37, and that we should bring the first fruits of our door. Malachi 3:10, look what it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will open your windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. 1 Corinthians 16:1 says, now concerning the collection of the saints. You say, what is that? That's the offering. It's when we pass around the plate and we collect from the saints. Notice what he says. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday, that's today, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. What does that mean? That's your increase. How did God prosper you? That there be no gathering when I come. You see, you need to understand this. You bring your tithe in. You say, Pastor, why are you making a big deal about that? Because of this. You don't send your tithe. Today there's a big movement with televangelists. Televangelists get on the television and they preach there and they get all excited and they're real charismatic and they get you excited. And you know what they do at the end of the program? They say, now listen, you send us $19.99 and we're going to send you this hanky that I, you know, wipe my sweat with and it's going to heal your cancer or something. And today people have this idea. I'm going to tithe over the internet. I'm going to tithe to the TV evangelist. The Bible never said, send your tithe. You'll never find that in Scripture. But you'll find verse after verse after verse that says you bring your tithe. You say, well, why does God tell you to bring your tithe? Because you owe Him the tithe. You're supposed to pay it. And He says, here's how you pay. Bring it to my house. It's just like when you owe someone money. You know what I'm talking about? You owe your parents money. Say, Dad, I'm going to pay you. Come to my house. And bring me my check you owe me. God says, hey, you're supposed to pay my tithe. Bring it to my house, the church, and pay it. One of the purposes for tithing is to get you to church. One of the purposes for tithing is that you're supposed to come because you're obligated. I'm supposed to pay God my tithe. Letter C. Look what it says. You're learning way more about tithing than you ever wanted to. But I'm going to give it all to you. Letter C. What if you forget? What if you miss your tithe? What if you get paid and you said, oh man, I didn't pay my tithe. I spent all my money. I don't have money to tithe now. What do I do? Do I just forget about it? I mean, you do that if you want. You take that risk if you want. But look at what the Bible says. Leviticus 27:30. Do you see that? And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem out of his tithe. Notice. If a man will at all redeem out of his tithes. So, because remember, we keep going back to this. In those days, they were tithing animals, right? So here's the thing. I've got 10, I increased 100 cattle. I've got 10 cattle or 10 cows that I need to tithe. But I've got this one cow here, and it was in that first 10%, and I'm supposed to give it to God. But my kids just started playing with this little cow, and this became the family cow. We gave it a name. We named her Betsy, you know. And I know if I take her down there, that priest is going to sacrifice her. And I've grown accustomed to this cow. I don't want to give God this cow, just this one right here. So God said, here's what you do, okay? Look at verse 31. And if a man will at all redeem out of his tithe, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. So here's what God said. Okay, you don't want to give me? Because you're supposed to give me the first 10%. But he said, you want to keep Betsy? That's okay. Here's what you got to do. Figure out how much Betsy is worth. Add 20% or the fifth part to that. And then he says, you can redeem your tithe. Do you see that? I'm giving you more than you need, but I want you to understand this, okay? Here's what God said. I made $1,000 this week. But I need $1,000. I'm supposed to pay God. Sunday's coming. I owe God his $100. But I need that $1,000. The Bible says you can do this. Now listen to me. Because it's going to come back here in a little bit. So please understand this. You can say, hey God, I'm going to keep this $100 and I'm going to pay it to you later. But here's what God says. You can do that, but you need to add the fifth part. He says, I'm going to charge you 20% interest. So you borrow $100 from God, you pay him $120. Now let me tell you something. Do not use God as a payday loans place. It is not a smart thing to do. Don't go into debt with God. Just pay him, okay? But the Bible says you can, it's right there, Leviticus 27:31. Add thereto the fifth part thereof. The fifth part is 20%. God says, if you didn't pay me the tithe, you can pay it to me again, but you gotta add 20%. That's what he said. Yeah, Pastor, I don't like that. Look, I don't know if you've noticed, all I've been doing is reading verses to you. Have you noticed that? I'm just going through verses, explaining to you. Number one, if you owe God your tithe, then you pay the fifth part or 20% above what you owe. Just don't do it. Don't go into debt with God. You're already in debt with everybody else. You know, stay clearing with God. You know what I mean? Don't, it's not a smart thing to go into debt with God. Number five. Tithing, let me make this clear. Because today, there are many preachers who are teaching anti-tithing. Tithing applies to all New Testament believers. If you are saved, you are required to tithe according to the Bible. Now, let me give you a few things to think about. Because sometimes people ask me about this and I want to answer it. Letter A, tithing and the law. One of the biggest reasons that preachers will get up today and say, you don't need to tithe, is because here's what they'll say. They'll say, we're not under the law. And I'm not even really sure what that means, because that concept is not found in Scripture. But they'll say, we're not under the law, so we don't have to pay tithe. Now, here's what you need to understand, okay? Abraham tithed. In Genesis chapter number 14, I've got it there in your notes. Look at it, I want you to read it. Genesis 14, 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, notice what it says, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. I think I said earlier that Jacob was the first person to tithe. I misspoke. Jacob was the first, that reference was the first reference to the house of God. This is the first reference to tithing, Abraham. The Bible says that Melchizedek, the high priest of God, which we know from the book of Hebrews, that Melchizedek is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an Old Testament incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You study that on your own. Hebrews tells us that he was without father, without mother, without beginning of days or descent. You know, it tells us, it's very clear that it's Jesus Christ. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, appeared to Abraham. And Abraham, look at verse 20. Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies of thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Melchizedek appeared to Abraham, and Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. John 1:17, look what it says. Because here's what the non-tithing movement will say today. We're not under the law, so we don't have to tithe. Okay? Genesis 1:17, look what it says. For the law was given by, what's that say? Moses. Who gave the law according to the Bible? Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy are the Pentateuch. They're referred to as the law. Who wrote those books? Moses did. We understand that. The Bible says in John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you a question. And I know maybe you didn't go to Bible college, but hopefully you know the answer. Who came first? Abraham or Moses? Abraham came first, right? Abraham was the father, and then Moses came years later. So here's the question, here's the thing. If Moses gave us the law, but Abraham was tithing before Moses was around, is tithing part of the law? No, it is not. So when someone says, you don't need to tithe because we're not under the law, my question is this. When was tithing ever associated with the law? Abraham was tithing hundreds of years before the law was ever given. The tithing has nothing to do with the law. Abraham tithed before the law. Jacob tithed before the law. Yes, the law talks about tithing, but it's not associated with it. So when someone says, you don't have to tithe because we're not under the law, I'd ask them this question. And I don't even like that terminology, but I would ask this question. According to how you're saying we're not under the law, was Abraham under the law? And they'll say, I don't know what they're going to say. But if they say, well, yeah, Abraham was under the law, you can tell them this. Well, the law was given by Moses. Moses didn't come around to many, 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 many years after Abraham. So if Abraham was tithing before there was a law, you and I, quote unquote, not being under the law, has nothing to do with tithing. Do you understand that? It's not associated with the law. So if someone says, you don't tithe because you're not under the law, Abraham tithed and he wasn't under the law, according to your terminology, which I don't even agree with. So, tithing and the law are not associated with each other. The law talks about tithing. Yes, we understand that. But Abraham and Jacob are both recorded in Scripture as tithing before Moses gave the law. Letter B. Tithing, I'm trying to explain to you why we as New Testament believers should tithe. You're not under the law. Neither was Abraham. And he still tithed. It's not associated with the law. Letter B. Tithing was never repealed in the New Testament. Tithing was never repealed in the New Testament. Number one, the book of Hebrews is meant to explain to the Jews how they are to worship in the New Testament believers. Are you familiar with the book of Hebrews in the New Testament? The book of Hebrews is called the book of Hebrews because it was written to, guess who? The Hebrews, right? Jews. And the purpose of the book of Hebrews was to explain to the Jews how, because they had all this law, right, in the Old Testament, all these sacrifices, all these meat offerings and drink offerings and all these things they had to do. And Hebrews was meant to bring the Jew from the Old Testament up to date in the New Testament and explain to them how these things correlate. Now, in the book of Hebrews, there were many things that were repealed. Let me prove it to you. Do you see there Hebrews 9:9? Look what it says. Hebrews 9:9. Which was a figure of for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Now notice, the Bible says they were a figure for the time then present. What was a figure for the time then present? The gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect. Look at verse 10. Which stood only in... So what gifts and what sacrifices are you talking about? Look what he says, verse 10. Which stood only in... Note what he says. Meat and drinks and diverse washings and cardinal ordinances. Notice, imposed on them until the time of reformation. So, the meats and the drinks... And the diverse washings and the cardinal ordinances, those were imposed on them, who? The Hebrews. Until when? Forever? What does it say? Until the time of Reformation. When was the time of Reformation? I didn't put it there in your notes, but let me read it to you. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 11. You say, well, the time of Reformation was a time in history when Martin Luther... Look, that's what history says. But what does the Bible say is the time of Reformation? Hebrews chapter number 9, the next verse, number 11, it says this. Hebrews 9:11, it says... Let me read it for you then. Again, Hebrews 9:10. Which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and cardinal ordinances, imposed on them until the time of Reformation. What is the time of Reformation? Verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. The day of Reformation, according to the Bible, is when Christ came. Okay, maybe I'm giving you too much Bible, but I want you to understand this. He said the meats and drinks and diverse washings and cardinal ordinances, they were imposed until the day of Reformation. What is the day of Reformation? The day that Jesus Christ came. So here's what he's teaching them. When Jesus Christ came, guess what? You don't have to do the meats anymore. You don't have to do the diverse washings. You don't have to do the cardinal ordinances. Guess what? We don't have to sacrifice a lamb as New Testament believers. We don't have to, bring the meat offerings and the sin offerings. You don't have to go to the priest if you've got, you know, have you ever read the book of Leviticus? I've got a sore in my arm and I've got this white hair growing from it and I got to go to the priest and he's going to see if it's, you know, leprosy and then I have to go outside of the city for 7 days and come. We don't have to do all that. Those were all for a sign, a figure till the time of the time then present. But they were imposed for a short amount of time until the day of Reformation. Now here's my question for you. What does it say tithe was repealed? It doesn't. Look at Colossians 2:14. Colossians 2:14 is there in your notes. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, a reference to Jesus Christ coming. Look at verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in, you shouldn't let any man judge you in these things, meat, or in drink, or in respect of holy days, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. No, we don't keep the Sabbath day as New Testament believers. No, we don't keep the new moon as New Day believers, as New Testament believers. We don't keep the holy days. We don't let anybody judge you in regards to meat. You want to eat pork? Eat pork. That was for the Old Testament. But when Jesus Christ came, He said, that's repealed. Go to Chipotle, get your carnitas, you know, go down to Mr. Carnitas on Truxell and West El Camino or whatever it is, and get yourself your carnitas and have them deep fry it, and it's fine. He says, those were for a time then present. He said, let no man judge you in meats or drinks. So He goes through, look at verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So He gives you specific lists. He says, look, meats, offerings, you know, holy days, the Sabbath days. But here's my question. Where does it say tithe? Where does He repeal tithe? He doesn't. And here's what I think is interesting. In Hebrews is where He's going through it, repealing all these things, right? The Sabbath day, the Levitical priesthood, the sacrifices. But here's what the interesting thing. Look at your Bible, or look at your notes. Hebrews 7:1. In the book of Hebrews, the author, who I believe is the Apostle Paul, references back to Abraham tithing. Look at what it says, Hebrews 7:1. We read it in Genesis, read it in Hebrews. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave the tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Look at verse 8. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as I may say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. So here's what I think is interesting. In Hebrews, he mentions tithing, but he never repeals it. Because people said this to me. I said, well, show me in the book of Hebrews where the tithe is repealed. And they say, well, maybe the author didn't mention it because he wasn't thinking about it. Well, the funny thing is this. He did mention it. He mentioned tithing. And yet he never repealed it. He doesn't say anything negative about tithing. In fact, he says something positive about tithing, referring back to when Abraham tithed before the law. So New Testament believers should tithe. We're not under the law. Neither was Abraham, according to your terminology. And he tithed. It's not mentioned in the New Testament. Is the book of Hebrews in the New Testament? Was Jesus Christ in the New Testament when He told the Pharisees that ye should pay tithe? I'm pretty sure Jesus Christ is in the New Testament. I don't know. It's in the Bible. Let me give you another reason why New Testament believers should tithe. Letter C. You ought to tithe to support the pastor. Now look, let me say something. I do not take a paycheck from Verity Baptist Church. I should and I will one of these days. Soon. But I don't take a check from this church. I work a job and whatever. I do this as a labor of love. For now. One day I you know, because the Bible does teach that pastors should get paid. I'll show it to you. New Testament pastors are supposed to be supported by the church. 1 Corinthians 9:9. Look what it says. For it is written in the law of Moses. Look what is written. Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Now, Paul is saying this. Look, the Bible says you're not supposed to muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. So here's what he's saying. He's saying you would have an ox, and you would use that ox to tread the corn, to reap the field, right? He said when that ox is working, don't muzzle his mouth. Here's what they meant. Because he's going through the field, right? Well, this ox, he's working all day. And as this ox is working, he gets hungry. And you know what this ox does? He's working, and he's pulling, and he's doing all this stuff. And as he gets hungry, he just goes, arr! Starts eating. And he's eating corn, and he's eating of the field. And the Bible says, and here's what people did, because people were real cheap. They would muzzle his mouth. They'd cover his mouth. So here's the thing. The ox worked all day, but he never got to eat. You understand that? And God said, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. He said, look, if the ox is working, let him eat. He's working, he should be able to eat. But look at the last part of verse 9. He says this, doth God take care of oxen? Does God take care for oxen? He's saying, is God saying this because he's really worried about the oxen not getting fed? Look at verse 10. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes. He's saying, is God really worried about oxen? Or is he saying it because he's trying to teach us a principle? Here's the principle. When you're working, you ought to get paid. When you're working, you ought to be allowed to eat. That ox is working. Let him eat. Look what it says. Verse 10. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope. And he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. Look at verse 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things. Here's what Paul is saying. If we have sown unto you spiritual things. Paul, as a pastor, as a missionary, is saying, I've sown to you spiritual things. Let me ask you a question. As pastor of Verity Baptist Church, have I sown to you spiritual things? Have some of you learned spiritual things coming to this church? Have some of you grown spiritually coming to this church? That's what he says. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap of you carnal things? You know what Paul is saying? He's saying, if I'm teaching you the Bible, why is it a big deal if I reap something carnal from you in regards to finances? He said, if I'm working, if I'm the ox, I don't know. You know, one of my favorite reasons I like men's preaching night, because it teaches the men, it's not easy to get up here and preach. And they're only doing it for 5 minutes. Try doing it for an hour three times a week. It's a lot of work to study. It's a lot of work to get these notes down for you. It's work. It's work to be out soul winning. It's work to deal with all the issues. I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining to you. If the ox is working, he ought to get to eat. Today you've got religions that say, pastors should never get paid. Not according to the Bible. If the ox is working, let him eat. You ought to like this passage because God just called pastors a bunch of ox. You're dumb as an ox. It's good enough for Paul. He said, the ox is working, let him eat. Look at verse 12. If others be partaker of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Now notice this, okay? He says, if the pastor is working, if the ox is working, let him eat. He says, if we've sown unto you spiritual things, we ought to be able to reap carnal things. He's saying there's nothing wrong if a pastor spends all day studying the Bible to teach you the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with him taking a paycheck so he can pay his rent, so he can feed his family, so he can take care of his carnal needs while he's helping you spiritually. There's nothing wrong with that. Look at verse 13. Do ye not know that they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple? Now he's referring back to the priest. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? He says, look, don't you know that in the Old Testament, when you brought your 10% of cattle, or when you brought your 10% of wheat, or when you brought your 10% of corn, and you brought it to the temple, don't you know that those priests that are working there all day long, that they would take that tithe, and that's what they lived off of? You understand that? He's saying in the Old Testament, the priest lived off the tithe of the land. People would bring, you know, you'd bring that cattle, and for you, it was a sin offering. For you, it was a peace offering. For you, it was a trespass offering. For the priest, it was dinner. You understand that? That you'd bring the cattle, you'd bring that lamb, and you'd say, I need to sacrifice this for my sins. And the priest would say, okay, I'll do that. And he'd slit their throat, he'd take the blood, he'd perform the rituals, he would do all the things. But then guess what they did with that meat? They would burn the meat, they would cook the meat, and they would eat the meat. They lived off the tithe of the lamb. That's how they survived. Look at verse 14, 1 Corinthians 9:14. He says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live up the gospel. He says, in the same way that the priest ministered in the temple, people brought their tithes and they ate off the tithe. He says, in the same way, the pastor in the New Testament ought to minister to the people. They bring their tithe and he gets to live off the tithe. Do you see that? Look at verse 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel, who are they which preach the gospel? You're looking at them. Should live of the gospel. You know, as we preach the gospel and we reach more people and this church grows and people come and people are putting money in the offering plate and they're tithing, let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with a pastor taking a paycheck. You say, pastor, you're tooting your own horn. Well, if I don't teach it to you, who's going to teach it to you? And if I drop dead tomorrow and a new pastor shows up, I need to teach you that it is your job to take care of that pastor. Don't sit there and try to act like some spiritual hypocrite
Well, you ought to be doing it for God.
And what's he going to eat off of physically? You understand that? One of the qualifications of being a pastor is being married. One of the qualifications of being a pastor is having children. And you want him to have children. You want his children to be well behaved, and they better never do anything wrong. And they better sit there quietly. They better believe me. But then you don't want to give him money to feed those kids. You're crazy. If the man is working, feed him. If the man is working, pay him. If the ox is treading out the corn, let him eat. That's what the Bible says. And by the way, let me say this.
You say, I feel really uncomfortable with all this talk about money.
See, it really has to do with something deeper than that, and here's why. You know that at Very Baptist Church, here's my philosophy on money. Your money perished with you. I could care less if you put money in the offering plate. And I say that, I'm standing behind the pulpit with a King James Bible in front of me. I am not lying to you. When I'm not in the pulpit, I probably do lie to you. But I'm not lying to you right now. I could care less. I don't care. If you walk out of here and say, I don't think I should ever tithe, your money perish with you. I don't care. And I mean that. And by the way, you don't want to tithe to this church, I'll still love you. I'll still pray for you. I'll still be your friend. But let me tell you something. You come to this church and you come to men's preaching night and you think, oh, this pizza's so good. How do you think we paid for that pizza? You come to the ladies' activity. Oh, it's so nice of you, Miss Joanne, that you teach us how to make ornaments. How do you think we paid for those ornaments? Oh, yeah, man, I came to church and they gave me this $20 DVD as a Christmas gift. How do you think we paid for that? Someone put money in an offering plate somewhere. You understand that? Churches can't survive without the tithe. That's why it's instituted. Conclusion, number one. The curse associated with tithing. Malachi 3:8, that's where we started. Look what it says. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now notice what he says. Look at verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know, I believe that one of the reasons Christians so often are in just financial bondage. I talk to so many people and they say, I just feel like I can't get ahead in life. I feel like financially, I feel like I'm in a curse. You know what I tell people? You probably are. Because God said, you robbed my tithe. You are cursed with a curse. I'm not trying to scare you. I don't care. Like I said, I don't care. And if it bothers you, talking about money bothers you, the Bible says this. Jesus Christ said this. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where dust and rot, where moth doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither dust or moth doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. And then he said this. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know why it bothers you that we talk about money? Because your heart is not with the things of God, it's with your checkbook. Because those of us that love God and tithe, and by the way, I work a full-time job, and guess what? I tithe to this church. Pastor tithes to this church. I'm not going to preach it and not do it. I tithe. I give. So you need to understand this. You say, but I don't like you talking about it. It just teaches us that there's a problem in your heart. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasure is with the stock market, then guess what? Your heart's in the stock market. If your treasure is with the things of God, if you get financially involved in this ministry, guess what? You know, people come to this church, and I'm not, please understand me, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but you can tell the people that are financially involved in this church, because they walk in and they're like, how long have these been, he's been running all day. Hey, I saw you ate, that's your fifth donut. Good night, you know. Save some of those for the visitors, you know what I'm saying? Say, why do they care so much? Because they're the ones supporting it. People come in here and they're like, oh, no big deal, this and that. No, man, it's like a grocery store, it's all free. That's because it's usually probably because they're not invested in it. See, where your treasure is, there where your heart be also. You get invested in a place with your time, with your talents, with your treasures. You're going to care how that place uses your time and your talent and your treasures. Do you understand that? There's a curse associated to not tithing. But not only that, there's a blessing associated to tithing. Look at Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Why? That there may be meat in mine house. You like the activities? You like all the meals we put on? Guess how we do it? From the tithe. And prove me now. Now here's what's interesting to me. You know what God is saying? He's saying, I dare you. He says, I double dog dare you. He says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He's saying, look, you tithe, I'll take care of you. Look at verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now look, you need to understand, sometimes we live the life of Job. You remember that? We're not these prosperity gospel preachers. You know, just give God money and he's going to bless you. But you need to understand this. I'll tell you this, I'm not rich, I'm not even close to it. And we struggle, my family, we struggle financially sometimes. And sometimes I need to work a little more because I need money. But blessed be the Lord God, we've never gone hungry. We've never had to beg for food. We may not be eating what we wanted to eat, but we were able to feed our kids. And I believe one of the reasons is because from a young child, I was taught, my parents taught me from a young child. You know, I remember my brother and I, we'd go work with my dad, and we'd work for 8 hours. And we probably weren't working, we're probably just playing, you know. But we'd go work with my dad, and he'd pay us a $20 bill, 8 hour day, $20 bill. Now, that was money. Good night. But you know what we were always taught from a little child, and I thank God for it. You get to church, you put in your tithe. And it was our responsibility to go somewhere and get the change and put our $2 in. And guess what? I was taught to tithe off the $20, and when I got older, it wasn't hard to tithe off the $2,000. And I'm thankful. And I've not accomplished much in my life, but I'm thankful that that's not something I struggle with. I don't have an issue. I give God my tithe. And I can tell you this from experience, God has always taken care of us. You say, are you rich? Not even close. But he's always blessed us. He's always been there for us. He said, prove me this thing. Sometimes, you know, people say, Pastor, I just don't understand. I just feel like there's just this dark cloud over me and I'm just constantly a mess financially. My number one question, are you tithing? Well, no, I can't afford to. My philosophy is I can't afford not to. I can't afford to live my life with the curse of God on me. I've got kids to take care of. I'd rather live off the 90% and be right with God than live off the 100% and have this curse on my life. The Bible says there's a curse associated with tithing. The Bible says there's a blessing, of course, is that. Number three, we're done. Number three, remember, when it comes to your finances, it is God that is in control. Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Remember this, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. I'm just telling you this. When it comes to finances, this is my philosophy. I'm going to obey God, and he's going to take care of it. Because God's the one that can give me wealth anyway. God's the one that can give me health anyway. God's the one that's going to take care of me anyway. My job is to be obedient and let him take care of the rest. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I pray that you would allow people to just understand the spirit of a sermon like this. We very rarely talk about money. But it's not because we're ashamed of it. We're not ashamed of preaching the Bible. We'll preach the Word. And the Bible talks a lot about the subject of tithing. We just don't think it's a priority with God. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be obedient. Help us to be obedient to His Word. Father, we love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen.